to the Learning Reinvented podcast, brought to you by myself, Katie Godden.
And James Politilo from The Learning Effect. There are lots of learning podcasts out there, so we wanted to do something slightly different. This week, we'll be talking about the overall economy and trends in the market and what that might mean for learning teams in 2023. So I think it's worth starting with, you know, just setting the scene as to where we are in the economy, what's happening in the market. So, you know, over the last couple of years, we've seen a real discussion around skills in learning. So there's that still underpinning impact of skills are going to change and the requirements of what people need to do at work are going to continue to change. So I don't think that's particularly changed as an overarching factor for the market. We've also seen, particularly in the UK, a huge amount of shortages of workers, and there's also lots of discontent amongst workforce as well. So, you know, we're seeing strikes over pay, particularly in the public sector, and again the overall economic situation, as we're clearly in recession and people are looking at hugely rising costs of goods and increasing tax burdens. And this is not just placing pressure on individuals, it's also placing pressure on businesses as well, because where do they sit in terms of absorbing some of those costs and pressure, passing those on to customers, and finding that, you know, consumer spend or customer spend in general is more challenged. So I think there's lots of things going on in the market, Katie. So if you're sat in a learning team, what do you think that means for you?
Well, it is going to be added pressure, more added pressure. I think learning teams are probably under a lot of pressure anyway, given like the past few years where there's been a lot of disruption to kind of how businesses are working. But yeah, like any other team, I guess, within organisations, learning teams are going to struggle with that. And we often find that kind of learning teams are the ones that get hit with budgets a lot. So like learning kind of gets thrown out the window first when it comes to reducing budgets and reducing costs for businesses. So I would expect that. So I think learning teams have to really think about how they're going to operate and operate in the most efficient way and get those roles right, so they're able to offer their colleagues the best training possible, but at the most cost efficient way.
And I think that's a really important point, that, you know, traditionally, you know, marketing and learning were the first out the door when you hit recession, and marketing has become a lot more data driven, and, you know, it's maybe not viewed as expendable as learning can still be viewed. For certain learning teams, you know, they have become core to business and they're really understood to be a vital cog in that machine, and you can't necessarily just stop learning. I think over the pandemic as well, there was a, you know, a view that almost HR became a vital function for businesses because it was dealing with lots of changes and lots of challenges and rules and all sorts of things like that, and, you know, moving to hybrid working and lots of different challenges. I'm not entirely sure that's rolled on to learning being part of the HR team still being seen as that vital team that took us through the pandemic. It is obviously in some businesses, but as a whole, I'm not sure that's really raised learning's credibility. So the points you made about doing things in the most efficient and effective way for the business, have you got some examples or some things that people could be doing to make that happen, or things they could consider?
I think people really need to think about what their business is trying to achieve as a whole. So like really think about the objectives, and like when you and I have conversations, we always go back to this anyway, because let's not just do training for the sake of training. But I think now more than ever, that's really, really vital and really important. We don't want to be wasting people's time. You're going to have a shortage of people within different teams, within your own learning team, especially. So given that, you need to make sure that the things that you're producing are kind of as cost efficient, cost effective and efficient as possible. So you need to kind of get rid of, in my opinion, the kind of really long, lengthy courses that are going to take people an hour to do when they don't need to. Perhaps they could do that in like a couple of minutes if you do a quick video, or if you put up a one-pager document to get that information out. So you want to try and reduce the time that people are actually training, but reduce the amount of time it takes to kind of make that course as well, and make that content. And again, make sure that it's purposeful. Without that purpose, and so don't get people just doing stuff for the sake of doing it, basically. I think that's going to be really vital going forward, because again, it's not about wasting time, and we want to make sure people are getting the most out of everything that they're doing.
And I think it goes back to, you know, everyone's been talking about what you have to do now to cope with, say, rising electricity bills or rising food prices. I think the same principles that you apply at home apply at work as well. And if you're sat, you know, overseeing a learning team, as I've done for much of my career, my starting point was always to look and say, within your budget, and I've taught true budget, not just what your expenditure budget is, but like you said, wasting people's time. So what is your true cost to the business? So how can you be adding value to the business? And we'll come back to that. But in terms of cutting your cloth and making sure that you are using your budget in the most effective way, you know, you've got to be a good corporate citizen and say, actually, this is the time to give up any fat in your budget. This is the time to really go through and see, are you getting a return for that pound's investment? Is that person in your team delivering what you need? Are they skilled and focused in the right way? Are you trying to recruit into vacant roles at the moment and finding it a tough market to recruit into? Do you really need that role? Can you restructure your team slightly so that you can maybe partner with people to bring in those skills as and when you need it? So I think it forces you to be more creative and not just roll as you have done. And, you know, stepping back and taking a look at things and thinking, is that content library I bought, you know, really adding value? Are any of the courses, like you said, the really long courses, whether it's an hour's course that could be 5 minutes, or whether it's a, you know, 6 or 8 month course that is, you know, for a very few people and maybe a significant part of your budget, is that really adding the value that your business needs within the client current market? So, you know, we always talk about during recession, businesses, lots of big businesses start up because of innovation and having to do things differently. So I think it can be a real catalyst for learning teams, either taking the time and opportunity and being forced to look at themselves and do things differently, or also getting on the front foot and saying, actually, maybe I've had a learning structure and culture which has been really hard to change, but I've wanted to change it. Now's the time where I can use this as the catalyst to make those changes.
Yeah, I think you've made a really good point there in regards to the data. I think that's something that is starting to come through in the learning industry. People are starting to realise that data is really important. But I think now more than ever, that's going to be more crucial to help learning teams really understand what's of value and where they can potentially make those cuts. So like you said, the learning library that they might have bought for something that's really obscure, but just to give people a bit extra learning, is that really valuable? How's that helping the business as a whole, or can that be a cut that's made? And I think that's something that one of the roles that people could start using a lot more in learning teams. It is kind of like that data analysis role. But if you haven't necessarily got that skill in there, have you got that within your company as a whole? Would you be able to kind of lean on other people and like even sharing roles? I think that's a good opportunity. And you start to see that as well, where you've got learning teams that are a bit more perhaps progressive, and you might have kind of a dual role where you've got marketing and learning. So you're kind of taking those skills that are flexible and can be used across different departments. So are you able to kind of share that role, so you're not having to hire a brand new person, or like outsource it? So like you said, as and when you require that, I think that's something that's really useful to people. And I don't think people necessarily see that as an option, where it really can be, because you can add that benefit It might be a cost that's slightly more to begin with, but you're going to benefit from that for a longer period of time than just having that one person in a role that you're paying monthly. So I think people just need to really start thinking differently. And like you said, not just kind of going with it and potentially losing lots of people in the process and then panicking.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you've almost touched upon that sort of buy, borrow, bot model that you look at for workforce planning of, you know, do you need to have that skill in house? Can you buy it in? Can you borrow it from elsewhere in the business? Or can you automate that? Is that something that actually, if you step back, is a role that with, you know, some quite low cost tech? And again, the world of tech and innovation is moving so quickly, you will find that if you haven't gone back to the market for a while, you might find that you're overpaying for things that you could be using. I know we've seen during some of the processes we've been working on with clients recently that, you know, people have seen an interesting first product which is way overpriced when you actually go in and do your due diligence in the market. So that's a good lesson when you're learning to buy anything new, but also if you're reviewing what you've got. So, you know, it's like we're all running around the house now going, is that appliance energy efficient or not? You should be taking the same view of everything in your business. So is your learning system energy efficient? Are those courses energy efficient in the same, you know, same principle? Is running your learning team in that way and having people work in that way efficient? So it's those same principles.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's such a good analogy that that we've got. And it is something that's affecting all of us. Well, not necessarily all of us. If you live at home and your parents are foot in the building, you might not be in that same situation. But for the majority of the workforce, they will be thinking about that and having that as an issue in their everyday lives. But I think we're learning as we go in regards to that. And I think if people can apply that principle to when they're working as well, I think that does actually help. And I think it's understanding as well, these businesses don't necessarily have like a pot of money that's never going to end. You know, like businesses are going to struggle hitting the recession. You know, like we're starting to see like that anyway, when you, like you said, going shopping, the rising costs of that. Just going out and buying food, like ingredients for a meal, that's going up. It's cost nearly 15 quid for me yesterday. You know, so we're starting to see that impacted, and businesses are going to see the same things as well. So I think it's having that understanding that budgets are important. They're not just there to kind of guide you, I guess, and that you need to kind of keep within that and make it as cost effective as possible.
And I think it's also balancing the short term against the long term for your business. So, you know, we're going to have to, you know, again, same principles we're applying at home is what can you put off? What needs to be done? What now? What's the priority? So understanding when your business, where are the key departments or learning opportunities or skills or generally performance issues that your business needs to address to survive and work their way through the challenges they're facing at the moment. And by understanding where those opportunities or challenges are, you can target your focus to help the business. And I think that's the short-term stuff of really getting in there and then obviously doing your good housekeeping and stripping down everything else. So, you know, if you're in a multi-site business with, hundreds or thousands of staff distributed across the country, it's amazing how sometimes learning teams don't realize that, you know, 6 hours of training that could be an hour in total is actually a real financial and resource drain on a business, particularly if you're in a skill shortage business, because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy of you can't take people off the floor, therefore you can't train them properly, the training takes too long, so we don't do it, so standards drop, so sales drop. So, you know, there's a real element of understanding what your business situation is in the short term.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if you're able to change up how you're actually approaching learning, I think that's going to be the most crucial part to this. Like you said, if you can go from 6 hours down to an hour to have that good training, but also you think about, it's not necessarily just delivering content, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily just putting out courses. It's kind of making sure you might have train the trainer, making sure you're doing that efficiently. So when you are out on a shop floor or a warehouse floor, wherever you are, you're able to have like those people that are really proficient and that are able to help the new people coming through or help with onboarding, you know, start thinking about things differently rather than just kind of pumping out loads of content that, is it going to get viewed? Is it going to, like, especially when you're in a busy kind of environment like that, are people going to really sit through it? Or are they going to just click through it and hope that Bob down the road has got the answer for them? And, you know, and they can just sit and do the answers. Are they taking that on board? You know, I think now more than ever is a crucial time to really start thinking about how that training is delivered and what changes can be made, and try to implement them as soon as possible. What I'd be looking at is kind of having kind of your skeleton structure of learning in there, and start thinking about how that's actually delivered. So when you need to push that button, you can actually deliver that. And you're doing that ahead of time. It's not coming when everyone's in a panic. That's what I'd start to be doing now if I was internal.
And I think that's a really good point. And we saw the best organisations do that through the pandemic, because they were able to have a way of operating in learning that was agile. It was designed to be agile. And then again, some people have continued to do that. Some people have gone on that journey. Some people have not really picked up that understanding. But it's really interesting when you look at learning teams that are built to be agile, they are so much quicker at responding to the needs of the business, at working with their internal customers, at helping to resolve issues, and also being really pragmatic about what needs to be developed. So, you know, is this a bit of performance support? Is it a one pager? Is it an infographic? Is it a business process re-engineer? It's not learning at all. We just actually need to go and fix the business. And that's where, you know, learning people who are more holistic, you know, can do the data stuff, can do the business analysis, can you know, challenge back, really understand their business, can have a significant impact in that short term and really help people to make a change now. And it doesn't have to be really complex to set those, that framework or that agile way of working for learning. And it's just that needs to become your way of doing things, as you said, set the practice, and then you can ride through the bumps in the road, whether they're small or big.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, as well as kind of focusing on like that skeleton bit of training that I mentioned, I think it's looking at the teams that are going to be potentially impacted the most, and where it's going to be, the costs are going to probably be impacted the most. So that's going to be like the large part of your workforce, like especially if you're in kind of a like hospitality, retail, distribution, you know what I mean? It's those people that are out on the floor that are doing the work, that are kind of customer facing. They're the people that are going to be affected the most, because you might not have people in those roles. You're going to have a reduced workforce, you know, there might be a change in process because of that. But they're the ones that are going to be bringing in the income as well. And if you fall down on the training, and if that isn't as good as what it could be, or as efficient as what it could be, that's going to be what's going to impact the business as a whole, you know, because so I think that's where we need to really start focusing on. It's those key areas and how we can make those as efficient as possible and as streamlined as possible and as quick as possible. And you might have high turnover as well. So like in different roles, especially kind of those retail roles, those kind of hospitality roles, you might have that higher turnover. So you've got new people coming in, but you might have new people going out. They might start different jobs, moving around, whatever. So I think that's really important to have that as efficient as possible as well, because you're going to have those factors coming into it too. I think it's starting with those people and not focusing on kind of like head office roles that aren't necessarily going to be changing that much, or where you've got like a small number of people, or like you said, those high cost courses that people are going to be sending people on that affect the few. You know, are they really relevant, going into a recession? Are they going to really benefit the business as a whole? Or is it going to be the ones that the bits of training that affect everyone? I think I think that's where people really need to kind of change their mindset and shift that. And understanding it's not necessarily going to be easy as well. You know what I mean? Like, for you as a team, having to change and having to change that mindset is a big step. You know, you might have to potentially change the way that your company view learning as well, you know, because you're going to be delivering different types of learning. So that's going to be a big change. But I think it's accepting that and asking for help when you need it, and doing it for the business, you know what I mean, and making sure that the right thing's done, and not avoiding that change because it's hard, you know.
Yeah, and I think there's, you know, lots of key things there about the opportunity from, you know, turnover challenge the business is facing to make those changes. And I absolutely agree that you need to be focusing on the here and now, the roles that will massively impact on people. There's also the balance of the longer term as well. And that's about understanding your business for the immediacy, but also where you're going. So where do you need to develop skills? Where do you need to move your workforce? And that's tapping into the workforce planning in your business and understanding what that evolution is. And that's being part of the wider HR or business team and taking that more strategic view. And then being creative in your solutions in a collaborative way with all of those people. So if you're developing skills, it's not necessarily about running a training program for those skills or buying lots of off-the-shelf course content on certain things. It could be about development opportunities, shadowing, collaborative working, cross-team working. So, you know, those things do take time and effort and coordination to work, but they can be far more impactful. And one of the things I've seen over the last year is more of that starting to shift back to practice and putting skills into place and being able to use them being more of a focus than the content being shoved in. So it's far more efficient to take a set of people and create the opportunities for them to really develop those skills, then to coach and mentor other people and have that roll out that way, rather than say, we're just going to take these people off and do it in isolation. Or at the other extent, we're going to go, here's 5,000 people who can go on an online course on this and that will work. So I think you've got to get the balance between throwing it out to the masses and focusing in on a few and find a pragmatic way in the middle of saying, how do you look at a way of developing and evolving and shifting those skills for your business?
Yeah, and I think in regards to the skills, it's working with the people that are doing those jobs, you know, to understand the skills. I think that's the bit that's really important. And I think that's the bit that's sometimes missed, you know what I mean? I think companies want to just assume that they're the skills that are required, but they don't really kind of look at the roles that are being done, and they're making that assumption. They're not going to the people that are doing those roles day in, day out. They're the people that are going to really help you understand kind of what skills are required and what training is required. You know, like you often find in little departments that they've actually got their own one pages, or they've got their own guides on how to help other people. And like, they're the best training bits because they're the ones that are doing it day in, day out. And I think, like you said, and like we've kind of touched on previously, like, it is about teams working together to get the best out of that, and just not making that kind of high level assumption of what people need, and just really thinking about where the changes can be made and where they're going to be most effective.
Yeah, I think that's really important, is that you can't do this on your own. It's got to be collaborative, and you've got to take people on that journey, because understanding at the level of the business where your key focus needs to be. But then in the way you talked about earlier of creating that methodology and framework, so you create and train a methodology and framework that any department can use. So you don't need to be sat in that department holding their hands. You empower and train them and upskill them and create a culture and a framework that allows them to take more control and ownership. Because it's, again, I think you get either the really high touch or the broad brush approach, and neither really work. It's got to be somewhere in the middle. You know, I buy an off-the-shelf learning content library with 30,000 items that covers everything in the world. Tick. But, you know, that's done in, and I've got all the content I need in, but where's the contextual bit for your business? Where are the best bits of learning, and what's the bits around the edges that need to knit those together to work for team A or for team B or for career path A or career path B? So you can't just throw things out without supporting that process through. At the other extent, going in and spending a huge amount of time creating something that's very bespoke, reinventing the wheel, that's going to have a very targeted but minimal impact, that doesn't work either, because you're using your resource in a too focused way and not being broad enough and having a wide enough impact on the business. So you need to balance those two things together. So if you're sat in that chair in the business, Katie, and you've listened to us talk about all of these things, give us a few practical places for you to start.
I think my first one, I'd start looking at my team, so my learning team. And I'd start understanding the skills that I've got internally, and what skills that I might need to kind of beg, borrow or steal from other departments. So I'd be looking at that. And next, I'd be looking at and talking to the business as a whole. So really understanding where the business is going, what the focus is going to be, what impact the recession is going to have, or what people predict the impact will have on the business. So where I need to focus as well. I'd start looking at my content. I'd start looking at how I'm delivering that learning as well. And like I mentioned before, I'd start looking at, is there things that I can be doing now? So can I start making kind of a skeleton learning plan for people that are starting brand new, but we need to kind of quickly get them through an onboarding process because we're on a staff shortage? So are there things that I can be doing now making now in preparation for that? As well as talking to the business as a whole, I think, to really get into their minds as well, that learning will have to change due to the impact of the recession. And yeah, that's what I'd kind of be focusing on at the moment, I think, if I was internal.
So I think really sort of key 4 points you've pulled out there. So it's focusing and understanding what skills you have, what your team does, understanding your business and what's important, what's going to be driving that, taking the business on that journey, and helping them understand that things are going to change, and creating the skeleton process for being able to make those changes in an agile fashion. And I think just one more to add to that and sort of maybe round it up to make it a fifth point is understanding exactly where you're expending budget. So what it costs to run your department and where every pound is working for you or not working for you. And I think those 5 points, if a team took them away and looked at those, they'd be able to be in a pretty good position for 2023.
I think what people could also do is come to us as a company, you know what I mean? Like, this is our expertise. We can help people in this. We've done this in a number of different businesses. So yeah, if people are struggling with that, or they need kind of a sounding board or just to talk over those thought processes, then we're more than happy to listen and kind of help as well.
No, absolutely. And I think having that, you know, sounding board, that extra pair of eyes, that challenge back can help you to navigate those changes and sometimes just be that additional voice you need to reassure yourself or get you to think in a different way.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, so I think that's a good roundup and what people need to think about going into 2023. But if people want to get in touch with either myself or James or us as a company, we'll put our contact details in the show notes below. But we wish everyone a great kind of end of the year and a happy new year going into 2023.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's hope that 2023 brings some more interesting challenges, but maybe not such impactful challenges for everyone. So yeah, thank you everyone. Have a great new year.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Learning Reinvented podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you've not already done so, please follow our podcast. And if the learning effect can help you and your organisation, please do get in touch. You can find both James and Katie on LinkedIn, and our contact details are in the show notes below.